Good morning, everyone. This morning, reading from one of the Master Course lessons of the last few days, very important concept. What is the view of monistic theism? Monistic theism is the synthesis of monism and dualism. It says God is transcendent and immanent, eternal and temporal, being and becoming, creator and created, absolute and relative, efficient and material cause. Bhāṣya. Fortunately, there's a Bhāṣya, right? That's a lot of terms, otherwise. Both strict monism and dualism are fatally flawed, for neither alone encompasses the whole of truth. In other words, it is not a choice between God is man and worldview of pantheistic monism, and the God is separate from man and worldview of theistic dualism. It is both. Panentheism, which describes all in God and God in all, and monistic theism are Western terms for Advaita Ishvaravada. It is the view that embraces the oneness of God and soul, monism, and the reality of the personal God, theism. As panentheists, we believe in an eternal oneness of God and man at the level of Satchit Ananda and Parashiva, but a difference is acknowledged during the evolution of the soul body. Ultimately, even this difference merges in identity. Thus, there is perfectly beginningless oneness and a temporary difference which resolves itself in perfect identity. In the acceptance of this identity, monistic theists differ from most Vishishta Advaitins. The Vedas declare, he moves and he moves not. He is far, yet is near. He is within all that is, yet is also outside. The man who sees all beings in the self, and the self in all beings, is free from all fear. Well, that's the first part. Just say a few words about that. Has an overabundance of philosophical terms, that's for sure. But the basic idea is simple, and we have two prominent ways of looking at Hinduism. One is theism, and the other is monism. Or you take, for example, two groups. I remember I was giving a satsang in Southern California in a home just a few days after I had attended the Kumbhabhishekam for the BAPS temple in Chino Hills, California, Southern California. Though, of course, BAPS is an offshoot of Vaishnavism in its thinking, in its philosophy, and therefore is theistic. God and man are separate. And as is customary in groups that emphasize theism, the temple is very important. Oh, the two things go together, an emphasis on theism and worshiping the deity in the temple through pujas. At the satsang, there were a number of devotees of Chinmaya Mission, San Diego, were there. And, of course, they're monists. And they don't put an emphasis upon worshiping the deity in the temple. In their centers, they have a shrine, but they're not, it's not as central to what they're doing, and their philosophy is one of that focuses more on scriptural study and the oneness of the soul and God, or monism. In other words, organizations are generally one or the other. That's the point I'm leading up to. An organization is either monistic or theistic. But our teaching is both. So that's one of the things that's unusual about it. It combines monism and theism. There's a beautiful quote, which if I had remembered it when I went over these notes, I would have included it in Guru Chronicles, Gurudeva's describing the teachings of Saiva Siddhanta as he understood them just at the time he was going from Colombo up to Jaffna in 1949. So he's summarizing the beauty of Saiva Siddhanta, and he says it contains all the mysticism of the temple, the worship of the deities, the understanding of the inner worlds, and it has within it the Advaita philosophy as well, and the practice of yoga to achieve that philosophy. So it has both the monism and the theism. And that's what's called Advaita Ishvaravada. So Vada just means a doctrine. So Ishvaravada means theism. Advaita Vada means monism, so monistic theism. The doctrine of monistic theism is what Advaita Ishvaravada means, or in English, monistic theism or panentheism. Part two. Just doing some research in a Saivite scripture. Just touching into it a little bit, I found a English translation of it, much to my surprise, on the web. It's pretty obscure. Sivayana Bodha Mapadiyam, or Sivayana Bodha Padiyam, by Sivayana Munivar. Pretty obscure. So I asked our expert, Sabaratnam Shivacharya, was this a reliable book? You know, how was it looked at? And he said, it's an excellent book. Very insightful scholar who wrote in the 18th century. So it's more modern than a lot of the writings on Saiva Siddhanta. So I thought I'd just read a few verses from it. Perhaps you remember the term patavi. Patavi means attainment. It's not something we use in our own literature. We just use the word attainment. But in the scriptures, it's called patavi, the attainment. So you have the four padas, Charya, Kriya, Yoga, Jnana. And each one has an attainment, or a patavi. So this is describing the first three patavis. Similar to the one I was using. So the first padacharya has the patavi of salokya. So, in other words, the way I was explaining it was reference to the TV series Downton Abbey. When I mentioned this in London, everyone says, oh, yes, yes. We can relate to that. So Downton Abbey, typical house of a wealthy English family, all the servants were downstairs. Only the head servants even go upstairs. So the servants, you know, they know the family of the house is upstairs. You know, they hear them walking around and all. They're in the same house, but they don't see them. They're at a distance. So that, to me, I thought of as Salokya. You're in the same house as God, the same world as God, but you're not very close. Well, that's better than where you were before. You weren't even in the same house or the same world, you know. You were just kind of wandering around. So Sivayana Munivar says, of the four kinds of results, that's his word for patavi, results, the result of charya is to enter the world of the deity and have the freedom like that of a servant to move everywhere in the world and enjoy the fruits thereof. This is Salokya. So very similar. Surprised how similar it was to the idea I developed. Then, of course, in Kriya, the Patavi, the attainment, is Samipya. So he says, Samipya is more than that. The worshipper has the freedom of a son to reside near the deity and enjoy the fruits thereof. So isn't that nicely said, as the freedom of the son to... So the son is a lot closer to the family than the servant is. So you've moved a lot closer. And the Yogapada, the attainment, Patavi, is Sarupya. Sarupya is higher than that. The worshipper has the freedom of a friend and enjoys having equal form, ornaments, and blissful existence. Very nice. And he summarizes it. Since these three results are like those of a servant, son, and a friend respectively, in the matter of privilege, the means, charya and others which enable one to have these results are respectively called the paths of a servant, son, and friend. Dasamarga, Satputra Marga, and Sahamarga. I'm still working on the last one, Sayujya. His explanation is a little more complicated. Also working on better description of the 16 subdivisions. In other words, you have four divisions, charya, kriya, yoga, and jnana. And then you can divide that into 16. So you have charya and charya, kriya and charya, yoga and charya, jnana and charya, charya and kriya, kriya and kriya, yoga and kriya, jnana and kriya, etc. So you have 16 subdivisions. Or you're breaking each of them down into four parts or four practices. So he has a nice clear description of the first two, I thought. Charya, in charya, etc. Of these, the cleaning of the house of God, like removing the dust and washing it with water, is called charya and charya. Okay. Cleaning the temple. Worshipping any of the 25 forms of Shiva or Lord Ganesha, etc., one of the forms found in the surrounding temples, is called Kriya and Charya. Meditation of one of these forms is Yoga and Charya. The experiential knowledge gained by these services is called Jnana and Charya. Very nice way of explaining what Jnana and Charya means. So it's experiential knowledge gained by doing these actions is what jnana means. Jnana and charya is the knowledge you gain from performing the three types of actions of charya. Then kriya, similar. So kriya, the difference between charya and kriya, of course, is charya means attending the puja in the temple. That's the basis. Kriya is performing the puja in your shrine room. So, charya, etc., in kriya. The collection of all the aids required in Shivalinga worship is charya and kriya. The worship offered to Shiva in the form of Shiva Linga as prescribed in the Saiva Agamas with the preliminary five purifications is Kriya in Kriya. The same worship performed mentally by adopting three places in the body for the respective divisions of worship is Yoga and Kriya. And then again, the experiential knowledge gained by these services is called Jnana and Kriya. There's a quote I use in a longer presentation, and I've also sent it to some individuals when they've asked about meditation. Meditation is something that sounds great till you try and do it, and then you realize it's pretty hard to control the mind. It looks easier on paper than it does when you try and do it. Well, in Saiva Siddhanta, there's a progressive way of doing that, and first one is yoga and charya. So it's said another way, yoga and charya means meditating after the puja is over. That's a simple way of explaining the basic or the most elementary form of meditation in Saiva Siddhanta is just meditating after the puja is over. And Gurudeva describes that as taking in all the energy, internalizing the vibration, a beautiful description of it in the Master Course, just taking in all the energy of the deity into your nervous system and absorbing it and kind of closing your eyes and enjoying the bliss of what you've received. And that's easy to do. And it's beneficial. In other words, the idea isn't puja's over, run off and eat the prasadam. Ideally, you can sit quietly for a while, if the temple allows it. Sometimes, of course, temples are too busy to sit quietly, but ideally, you can find some quiet corner, at least, to sit. And some temples even have a dhyana mandapam, a small place for meditation where you could sit after the puja and not be interrupted. So that's the first form of meditation described by Gurudeva, and technically we could call it yoga in charya. Have a wonderful day.